This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and right next to me is a scholar. He is an athlete. He is a Renaissance man. He also is Steve Ballmer's roommate at Harvard. Yes, that's Steve Ballmer, Mr. Excitable, LA Clippers owner, Microsoft magnate. He is a swell dancer. He is an educator. He is a doting grandfather, and he's Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, as you're hearing it right now, Mr. Tom Raphael. Tom.
Thanks, hello. Jay. And of course, as the society opens up and I'm on the road a lot in person again, I'm dragging you everywhere I go for that introduction. As far as athletic endeavors, not too long ago, it was the race to the top of Vermont running up Mount Mansfield. Kind of a slightly shorter version of Mount Washington. And as far as dancing, unfortunately, Dancing with the Stars is going to be on hiatus from NHTI. So, but when that returns, you can sign me up. But that's, you know, Jay, answer. I've noticed the last few weeks, we have been really doing a lot of community outreach. So we've had Rick Menard talking about building communities in New Hampshire, and we had Anna Brown on Citizens Count. And a few weeks before that, we had Barry Bresigner and Ellie Conquered on Manchester Proud. And I think in addition to oral health and some sports things that we do, one of the greatest things about radio and Binny Media and the Pulse is it allows us to really get the word out there from great community partners. And following along that theme, today we have Jessica Von Martin and Debbie Johnson from the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire. Jessica and Debbie, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Tom. Yeah,
thank you.
So one of the things I've learned in hosting this over close to 15 years is people want to know a little bit more about the background of my guests. So we'll give you an opportunity to talk about the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire. But why don't we start with Jessica and tell us your background, and then we can get into Debbie, your background as Director of Development, which I know is a difficult job, fundraising, et cetera. But why don't you start with your, with Jessica, your background, then we'll go to Debbie, and then we'll get right into your organization.
Great. Yeah. So I joined the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire in January of this year as the executive director. So I'm still pretty new. I'm not sure how much longer I can say that, but at least the first year.
We have a rule at Delta. You have 11 months. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So I'm
right after Thanksgiving, you have to stop.
Yes, then I'm not new anymore. Okay. So prior to this, Tom, I worked for Granite United Way. And then prior to that, I was the director of the Manchester Family Justice Center. But really working with victims and survivors of violence has been a passion near and dear to my heart throughout my career. When I started as an advocate at the YWCA in Manchester back in the year 2000. So it's been a while. I have my MSW, so my master's in social work, and I also teach there as well. So as an adjunct faculty member.
Now, when you were at the Granite United Way, was the Crisis Center one of an organization that you partnered with? Is that how you got familiar with it? Or?
We did partner with it, yes. Yeah, through the ACERT program here in Concord. So although they weren't a direct partner, we did work with them and wanted to sort of get them involved. And also, I've just always had great respect for the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire because, like I said, I've been in this field, so I'm familiar with the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire is one of 12 other statewide agencies that serve domestic and sexual violence survivors. So, and this one serves Merrimack County. So
great. Yeah. So Debbie, tell us about yourself.
So I came into doing fundraising by accident, actually. I started out my nonprofit career doing community organizing and did that for many, many years, did some policy work, and then just happened to help plan an event. I, too, actually worked at the YWCA in New Hampshire a little while ago, started planning some events for them and kind of fell into doing fundraising work.
Awesome. I know that no matter how compelling the topic, and of course, this is extremely compelling, fundraising is never easy. I know I do a lot of that on the side. Obviously, my real job is head coach of Delta Dental, but I'm on many nonprofit boards and do a lot of fundraising. So I know I know it's not easy, so I commend you. And of course, Delta Dental has and continues to be a supporter of both the Granite United Way and the YWCA. YWCA, obviously, our former VP of HR, who is happily retired, but stays in continuous touch with me, Connie Roy Jakowski, introduced me to the YWCA, and we're a big supporter. But let's get right into the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire with you, Jessica, and tell us, what is the role of the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire? And then you mentioned other affiliated organizations, so you might want to take the broad brush and kind of explain how it all fits together.
Sure, absolutely. So the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire has been in existence since 1978, serving victims and survivors of violence here in Merrimack County. As I said, we are one of 12 member organizations of the New Hampshire Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence, who serve victims and survivors of violence in their certain catchments. So for instance, the YWCA in Manchester serves Manchester, Londonderry, Derry area. We serve all of Merrimack County. Some other places, you know, serve the Keene area. And we all do similar things. We all provide support, direct support, in a variety of ways. But we do it in slightly different ways based on the communities that we work in. So, you know, I always say we serve 1,500 to 1,700 individuals a year here in Merrimack County. So one of the things that I often talk about when I'm given these opportunities is, you know, given how small New Hampshire is and how small our population is and the numbers that we serve, not just at CCCNH, but also statewide. There's nobody in New Hampshire that doesn't have a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, a relative, you know, or somebody that they know, you know, even as an acquaintance, who's not a survivor of domestic or sexual violence. So I think it's just really important to understand how big the issue is. And really the ways that we serve the population is that we have a 24/7 hotline that is manned primarily by volunteers and our trained staff. So it's confidential. If people call, they can talk to somebody, get support, answer questions. We also have a web portal, like a chat and a text portal that's only available during business hours at this point. We can also provide support to people when they go to court or if they have to go to the hospital or, you know, if they just want to come in and talk. We can provide that support as well. And as I said before, we have an emergency domestic violence shelter specifically for Merrimack County residents. We also do some housing support, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that after. And we have support groups. So I feel like we offer a lot and we do a variety of things, but the need is still there and still growing.
Yes. Well said. So Debbie, the website is cccnh.org. And so I always get this question when I have community partners on, in terms of how is the organization funded and how could the community help you best on that, Debbie?
Sure. That's a great question. We are funded through federal and state grants, but we do rely heavily on donations from the community. There's multiple ways the community can reach out to help us. That can be a financial donation. That could be donations for our shelter, such as hygiene products, you know, cleaning products, as well as volunteering your time. We are always looking for volunteers for our hotline. We're looking for volunteers to help us in the office. And we always need event volunteers as well. So it's really a multifaceted approach to how people can get involved.
So if we've engendered the audience to get involved and get in touch, whether to donate or to help out as volunteers, should they just contact the website or should they call you on a non-emergency number?
They can do either. You can visit our website, like you said, cccnh.org. We have a volunteer page where you can either email us with questions or fill out a volunteer application. You can also call our office at 603-225-7376. And we are happy to talk with you about the opportunities that are available.
Great. So the phone number again is 225-7376.
Correct.
Non-emergency number. And the website CCCNH, all one word, .org. Jessica, you kind of touched on this, but what are all the services that are provided? It sounds like you're really hands-on, and I'm sure you partner with other organizations, you know, for other needs. But why don't you kind of give us a schematic verbally of all the different services that you provide?
Sure. So not to repeat myself, but our 24/7 hotline is probably the most common way that people get in touch with us. And so that, you know, that would be the first. We also, with COVID, and with younger generations, we've also realized the importance of having sort of tech-based ways to reach out. So we do have a secure and confidential portal, text portal, chat portal. You can get that from our website as well. You can access that, and that will connect you immediately with an advocate. Again, that's only during, you know, business hours. Our housing programs include our emergency domestic violence shelter, but also we have a housing advocate who actually helps people to find and secure longer-term housing. And additionally, we have support groups, we have advocacy, we can do phone advocacy, we can meet people in the community where they are, whether that's hospital or court or police station, or because all of those things can be really overwhelming.
So let's pause there. I see, yeah. Jay, and I think I want to talk more a little bit more about the housing. So Jay, is now a good time to pause?
Yeah, let's pause right now. This is a great conversation that you're having, Tom, with Jessica Vaughn Martin, the executive director of the CCCNH, along with Debbie Johnson. That's Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire. And we'll talk more about that when we come back here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Welcome back. This is the Pulse of New Hampshire, Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And the guests this week on the show are Jessica Vaughn Martin. She's the executive director of the Crisis Center of Central New Hampshire, alongside Debbie Johnson. And Tom, take it away.
Thank you. What an important topic this is. So I'm curious on the housing part of it. Obviously, if a person needs to get out of where they're living, how do you coordinate that? And I'm sure the need is large. So I'm just interested to hear how you coordinate the needs there.
So, yeah, that's a great question. And it is, you know, critically important. I mean, we really do believe and know, the data shows us, that when people are ready to go, they need a safe place, right? So we do have an emergency domestic violence shelter. It's in a confidential location in Merrimack County. We also will help people get to other areas of the state if that is something that's more appropriate and there are beds available in our other agencies, other domestic violence agencies. However, I can share with you, Tom, that since COVID, our shelters, our DV shelters across the state have been at or above capacity pretty much every day. We have not had vacancies for people. So what we've actually had to take to is to providing safe hotel space for people where they can still receive support, still receive, you know, the case management support that we have while they sort of get safe and stay safe. And then as I was starting to kind of talk about, we also have a housing advocate, and her role is really to work in depth with people to find, you know, find an apartment, be stable, make sure that they're safe, make sure that they're budgeting so they know what they can afford. As you can imagine, the housing market, you know, our agency, like all the other agencies and just the state in general, is struggling with the housing crisis currently. And survivors have unique challenges. So oftentimes they might have poor credit, or, you know, they might not have stable employment and things like that because of the abuse they've suffered. So our job is really to sort of help support and advocate for them, but also to work with landlords to make sure that, you know, they understand that we're there as a support if things, you know, go awry. So from a housing standpoint, I feel like that is, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges we face as an organization right now, is to help people not only get safe, but then get to the next step. And
so the current societal challenges of workforce healthcare are even more acute in this situation. So
exactly.
Give you a lot of credit. Tell me about how you interface with other organizations that are helping out. So, for example, we're big partners with a campaign for legal services, 603 Legal Aid, and obviously they do a lot of pro bono work for situations where there could be a case of, you know, domestic violence, et cetera, and then rental issues and so forth. So do you, how do you coordinate, for example, you know, with that, you know, with 603 Legal Aid or the Campaign for Legal Services?
Yeah. So 603 Legal is one of our, I would say one of our premier partners. I'm not sure how else to say it, but we work with them pretty much almost daily, multiple times a week.
Daily? Oh, geez.
Yeah. Our advocates are in connection with them, making referrals for either pro bono or lower cost attorneys. We also do have a court advocate who supports victims and survivors at court. It's not a legal support, but it is a, you know, sort of an emotional and process support as people go in and file for restraining orders and things like that. So we work really closely with 603 Legal, and we're so grateful for them. But they, like any other resource, are so limited, right? And such an important cause and so critical. But we work with them really well. So,
yeah, that's great.
I feel grateful for it.
I give you a lot of credit, because it does take a, you know, coordinating effort. And I know we're sponsoring the Campaign for Legal Services big race on October 1st, and we do a number of things. So, back to you, Debbie. So, like, when there are other fundraising efforts, like the Kelly Man race coming up and so forth, it must take a lot to coordinate it, because, you know, when you're on the other end of this, when you're the employer making decisions on, you know, where to donate, everything starts sounding like similar. So how do you address that? For example, we also sponsor the Kelly Man race. But I've always done that because I've always liked to run the race. And then I got familiar with that sad story. So if a company is donating to Kelly Man, and then you, Debbie, you're the next person that calls, they might say, well, I just gave to the Kelly Man race. So how do you deal with that?
You know, we all try to do our events a little bit differently. We have our signature event, which is Walk a Mile in Their Shoes. That happens in front of the Capitol Building, downtown Concord. And community members come and walk a physical mile, although it's not really quite a mile, in high heel shoes. So we try to bring awareness to a very serious issue in a lighthearted way. We have great partners who have been doing it for years, like Raponi. Their team is called the Blister Bros. They hold breakfast to help fundraise for the event. We have Northeast Delta Dental has sponsored us for the last couple of years. And so we really try to make our events unique to our community, and that's how we really differentiate between the Kelly Man. I know some of the other agencies do golf tournaments. Others have big galas, but we really keep ours to our Walk a Mile.
So you get you're known for the Walk a Mile, which of course everybody's heard of, and you're in a rhythm. It's the same time every year.
Yes. It's always on the first Wednesday of October.
Yeah. And I think that's really smart to, because people have that sort of calendar in their head. It's like the, you know, the Campaign for Legal run. Now we're getting into, that's always going to be on or about October 1st, and then your event, you know, coming right after it. So that kind of gives a, you know, kind of a rhythm, you know, to the community. So in your day to day, again, this is such a deep and compelling problem. And do you find yourself sometimes feeling like, oh my God, it's so daunting? How do you keep from not burning out? And has anything surprised you, good or bad? You know, Jessica, you're still relatively new, but has anything surprised you? Of course, you were familiar with obviously having your MSW or whatever, but has anything surprised you as you've kind of dug into your position?
Yeah, I mean, I think just like, you know, every job, no matter what job it is, and what every organization has its own sort of culture and its way of doing business and things like that. One of the things that I'll say, you know, we really at CCCNH, we really are trying to pay attention to burnout, particularly of the people on the ground doing the day-to-day work, because it's, you know, it's not easy. Listening to people's darkest moments is not easy. You know, getting frustrated or not understanding why a system doesn't serve somebody in a certain way, it's not easy. So we really, really are trying to create a culture where there's a lot of self-care, a lot of work-life balance. And I think that that's just something that we've really tried to do. We do have 14 full-time staff and a number of on-call staff and a couple of part-time staff. And then we also have volunteers who primarily at this point answer our hotline. We're always looking for hotline volunteers. I do think, you know, you can do it remotely, which I think is a wonderful thing. You know, but we do ask for a year commitment because it's a training process, and we want to make sure that people are trained and supported and supervised, and they know they feel comfortable taking whatever call comes in, because you never know.
So you have 14 paid colleagues. So how big is your volunteer workforce? And I like what you said, like you really need to be committed for a year because of all that investment.
Yes.
In training. So you want people with great interpersonal skills.
Yes. Yeah. Good interpersonal skills, a passion for the work. We will train people. You don't have to, you know, have an MSW to do this work. You just have to have a passion and a willingness to sort of learn how to talk to people in a trauma-informed way, which just isn't an acknowledgement of the trauma that they've suffered. And so from a volunteer perspective, we have about 10 long-term volunteers. But we're constantly recruiting. We have a few coming through our training program, our 30-hour training right now. And so, like I said, lots of room for flexibility. We're also starting to look for volunteers to help us with doing community outreach, tabling events or whatever, right? Just to get our name out there, remind people we're around. So that's another opportunity.
That's a good segue to Debbie. So Debbie has, it's like, as you both you and I know, and everybody knows, it's challenging, even in a compelling cause and initiative like this, to raise money. But have you, what's your sort of secret sauce in terms of fundraising and getting the community engagement?
I think for me, it's really educating the community on the prevalence of domestic and sexual violence in our lives. I can't even tell you the times I've been out tabling at events and people are like, I never knew that many cases came through just Merrimack County alone. So really, once people understand the prevalence of it, it's not, they are much more compelled to volunteer, make a donation, attend an event, because they, you know, as Jess said before, they know probably someone this has happened to.
Yeah, that I thought that would be your answer. You know, the facts really compel people. I know, like, it's a different topic, but somehow I'm chair of the Arthritis Foundation. And when I tell people how many people are affected, including kids, all of a sudden, oh, my God, I didn't realize it. And then they open up their wallets. And I'm sure people don't realize how prevalent this is. So I commend you, too, for your compelling work. Again, the website is cccnh.org. The non-emergency phone number is 225-7376. We'll see you, of course, on Walk a Mile. Jay, I think that is, these ladies are unbelievable, aren't they, doing this work?
They are. No, this is great stuff. For Jessica Vaughn Martin, the executive director at the Crisis of Central New Hampshire, as well as Debbie Johnson, cccnh.org. That is the website. And, for both the ladies and Tom Raffio, I am J-Dog, and another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio is in the books. Fear not, we'll have another one coming very soon on the Pulse of New Hampshire.